And it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning. And we bring in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD and Nate and TD on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. TD, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, good morning, man. What's going on? This came fast, man. It seemed like just yesterday we were talking about Steelers Titans. It's crazy how time flies.
It is crazy how time flies, TD. And I want to start with you, obviously, in honor of Halloween. There's a whole debate going on right now about the go-to Halloween candy. Where do you start with your go-to with Halloween candy? What's your bread and butter, as they say?
You know, I'm not a big candy guy, to be honest with
okay.
you. If I had to pick one, it would probably be Kit Kats, but I don't really
Thank you.
Eat too much candy.
We're okay. on the same side there.
So, next question on that. Candy corn, yes or no?
No.
Even with peanuts?
I like my teeth. I love my teeth too much.
Me too.
Fair point.
So, TD, we had Dan Orlovsky on yesterday from ESPN, and he was talking about the Titans-Steelers game and said he didn't like how much soft zone the Titans played against Pittsburgh defensively. Are they playing too much soft zone coverage in your mind, and what would you do to adjust to that?
Well, I agree with Dan 100%, and this is something even before this past game I was saying that they do basically too much of, but I don't know what's going on in those meetings. Right, I don't know the level of trust that they have in those DBs to have them get up and press, you know. So a lot of times what you call and the scheme that you run is a result of, you know, how you feel about your guys, you know. And I'm not saying that they're running soft zone because they don't like the corners, but a lot of times when you don't have the corners that, you know, you are confident in to have just being man coverage right at the line of scrimmage, challenging receivers, that's what happens. So they need to get more disruption at the line. This is something I feel like a broken record with this, but it's the truth. They need to get more disruptive at the line, knock off the timing, because if Ben Roethlisberger is throwing the ball in 2 seconds, guess who's getting open in more than 2 seconds? I mean, less than 2 seconds. So that's really the issue. You got to challenge the receivers.
So, TD, if Adoree Jackson is back, and I think Malcolm Butler is, you know, is their most physical corner and guy who loves to press. But obviously with Adoree, you can do that and you are instantly better. Do you think that fundamentally changes how they approach things just by bringing him back?
I think it'll change things a bit. I wouldn't say fundamentally. I think they're still going to go with that soft zone from time to time. But the thing that's just so crazy to me is up until about 2 weeks ago, you know, they used just about 50% or maybe a little over that man defense. So this was a team that was in man very, very frequently. And I'm not sure I understand the game plan changes from opponent to opponent, but I'm not sure exactly what happened there. And that's something that they do need to get back to.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So TD, A.J. Brown's talent has been obvious since day one when he got here with the Titans. Where do you think he's grown the most from the beginning of last season until now?
I think he's become more of a red zone guy. You see him, he has two touchdowns in the red zone in very few games, three or four games. So I think that's where he's grown, and he's taken advantage of his size better, and he's able to make those catches. He's a guy that you want to throw the ball to the corner of the end zone and let him box out, go up, and, as they say, high point the football. I think that's where he's grown the most.
So, TD, I look at this matchup with the Bengals. I see a really banged-up offensive line for them, a defense that has not been good against the run. You know, they just traded an aging, but still a guy who's been a terrific pass rusher for them over the years, away. Maybe getting a little healthier in the defensive backfield. But I look at this, and it to me it's like only if Burrow finds a way to stay upright and just go nuts is this a competitive game. Am I giving the Titans too much credit, the Bengals too much discredit?
No, I think you're right. And the way that they're going to keep Burrow upright is catch and throw. You're going to play off coverage. We're going to run routes right underneath it. Burrow's going to catch it and throw it to them and let them make plays. And that's the thing. This team's offense is actually pretty good. And obviously Joe Mixon has his situation with the foot, and he is probably not going to play. But when you have a group that includes T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, I say it over and over again, Tyler Boyd is one of the best slot receivers in the league. And then you have A.J. Green, too. He's starting to heat up. When you have those guys, you could definitely take advantage of things and catch and throw to them, let them take advantage of what they're able to do. And I think that's how they'll be able to keep Burrow upright. And don't be surprised if they work a lot of empty sets, which is something that they're doing more than pretty much any other team in the league. And it's something that Joe Burrow excelled at when he was at LSU, and they're just carrying it over to the NFL.
So, Teron, what stands out to you about Joe Burrow from what you've seen and what you've heard and what people have said? What do you think has made him so effective early on as a rookie quarterback?
I think the decision-making and the willingness to, you know, fit the ball into play. A lot of what stands out to me is from him is what stands out about Tannehill, to be honest, now I think about it. You know, you see him fitting the ball in tight spaces. When it's time to run, he'll go ahead and run. In fact, on one play last week, he checked into a quarterback sneak because there was an opening there, and he gained like 7 yards. So I think that's what really stands out. That guy, he's a quarterback that I definitely, if I was starting a team, I would love to have him. He's a significant building block for them, and if they could put more pieces around him, they'll be a competitive team. And that's just because Burrow is that good of a quarterback.
So getting after him, TD, we had some called shots recently on the show, and I threw out there Derek Roberson gets a sack, which, of course, is taking the leap that he'll even be activated. Yeah. I've been a little bit surprised, frankly, with their struggles. What do you think about that and the idea of giving him a shot to at least give him some passing situation, you know, edge rush?
What do you have to lose? That's the whole thing. I mean, it could definitely get worse, but, I mean, Derek Roberson is a pretty good player coming off the edge. That's what he showed us last year. So, yeah, I mean, I like that as a shot being called. Because it's doubling up on it, right? It's already calling a shot for him to be active, and then to follow it up and back it up with a sack. That would be good for that team and good for your prediction.
TD, last thing for you here. What did you make of Tyson Brillo stepping in last week for Taylor Lewan, and how do you think the offense functions with him in there at left tackle?
Yeah, I think he did a solid job. You check the box score, and I don't just use box score, obviously, but if you check it, Bud Dupree was non-existent. But then if you look at the game, he didn't really have many pressures. He wasn't a big-time factor in the run. So I think Sam Brillo, he did a solid job. And they didn't have to always slide to him or have him chipping as much as I thought they would. So, yeah, give him a check in the win column for his performance last week. And I think going forward, that's something that they could build on. They just got to get Dennis Kelly healthy on the opposite side and have him against Cincinnati, and I think they'll be all right.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD and Nate, and TD has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, do you have something else? Throwing your hands up.
Yeah, sorry. I just want to thank you, TD, for not gloating about destroying me in fantasy football. But I wanted to make sure you got the recognition for it. Man, his team went off on
that. I'm on a streak, man. I'm on a streak. 4 in a row.
Oh, boy. Here he comes.
TD, appreciate you taking time to join us, man.
No problem. All right,
TD. That's a great point he brings up there to finish that interview off. Dennis Kelly missing practice the last couple of days. He was a little ginger walking around on Sunday against Pittsburgh, that's a huge concern to me, especially if he's not able to go today in practice.
Right. Today is a big test for him. You know, Clowney too, for sure. Dory Jackson has been rolling out there. It's just a matter of, you know, we'll find that out Saturday. But yes, today, I think you're right. You know, Kelly in particular. And if it's not him, he can't go. How do you proceed from there?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's kind of what we were talking about with the trade discussion earlier. That tackle position is thin now. It could get really thin in a hurry. So interesting to monitor there today for the Titans for sure. When we come back, Joe and I will lay out our top five quarterbacks in the NFL. Does Ryan Tannehill make our list? You'll have to find that out next on Robbie and Rex Road. But first, week 8 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks are now open. Make your picks of the 3 college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin tomorrow. This week, the weekly winner will receive a party foul gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You can sometimes run from tape and you can sometimes run from numbers. But when both of them are screaming at you that this is what this player is or this is who he is, people need to start looking at things from a different lens than they had in their past. And the reality is this, since Ryan Tannehill became the starting quarterback of the Titans, he's a top five player at the position. He's a top five player at the position.
That was Dan Orlovsky from ESPN on our show yesterday here on Robbie and Rex Road, breaking down Ryan Tannehill and what he's seen from him since he took over as starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. And Joe, yesterday, I put together a list based on those comments by Dan Orlovsky of my top five quarterbacks in the league. And it's going to be interesting. I think as you kind of look around the league and the power rankings and just the conversation point, you don't typically see Ryan Tannehill mentioned in the top five, but I thought some pretty strong comments there from Dan Orlovsky. So without further ado, you and I both are going to throw our top five quarterbacks currently in the NFL out there, and we'll see whether or not Ryan Tannehill has made the list. Now, I put together a piece at thegamenashville.com, and if you've read that, you may already know the answer to this, but if you haven't, you're about to find out right now. Let's start with my list, 1 through 5, for the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
Number one.
I think it's really hard to put anybody other than Patrick Mahomes at number one right now. I know a lot of people have talked about Russell Wilson and the year that he's having in Seattle, but just the things that Mahomes can do with the football, his ability to adjust, his ability, whether you're playing zone, whether you're playing man, whether you blitz him, whether you don't, to just totally destroy a defense seemingly whenever he wants to. I'm not sure we've ever seen a guy quite like Patrick Mahomes ever before. I think it's really difficult to put anybody else at number one. So I'm going with Patrick Mahomes in the one spot.
Number two.
Give me Russell Wilson at number two right now in Seattle. He's playing, I think, differently than they've asked him to play in years past with the Seahawks. I think their defense is struggling right now, and because of that, they know they're going to have to get into some games where they're in a shootout. And I think Russell Wilson has the weapons to take advantage of that. You saw Tyler Lockett last week go off for him. DK Metcalf, obviously a really good player. Even Chris Carson coming out of the backfield when he's healthy. I think a big weapon for Seattle there. But Russell Wilson, I think he's playing the best football of his career right now. He's already won a Super Bowl, and there's a lot that's been made about him not receiving an MVP vote in his career so far. I'm going to go out on a limb on the Call Your Shot Friday here and say that that changes this year. Russell Wilson will be getting some MVP love this year. I've got him at number two on my list.
Number three.
This is where my homerism comes in. Aaron Rodgers at number three. I just think he is playing at a level right now that we haven't seen from him in a few years. He's comfortable in Matt LaFleur's offense in his second year. He's got what I still think is one of the most underrated receivers in the league in Devontae Adams. I think when you start talking about the best receivers in the league, he's up there. And a lot of people don't recognize that or realize that, but he is very, very good. But not a whole lot of weapons at receiver outside of Devontae Adams. And Aaron Rodgers has made Robert Tonyan look very good this year. It's not Tonyan, it's Tonyan, like Funyan. We learned that last week in Green Bay as well.
I like
it. Made him a pretty good-looking tight end. Marquez Valdez-Scantling can't catch the ball, and Aaron Rodgers still scores touchdowns with him. Anyway, give me Aaron Rodgers at number three.
Number four.
Give me Ryan Tannehill at number four. He makes my top five. I think some people hear that and they think that you're crazy. Just go look at the numbers. He has been unbelievable in his time in Tennessee. He's got a 68.5% completion percentage, 7.8 yards per attempt this year, 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 4 game-winning drives, 3 fourth-quarter comebacks. I mean, the list goes on and on and on with what Tannehill has been able to accomplish as the quarterback for the Titans this year. So this is not a lifetime achievement award to me. This is who is playing the best football right now, and I think Tannehill's got to be in the conversation with the elite quarterbacks in the league. Give me Ryan Tannehill at number four.
Number five.
Give me Lamar Jackson at number five. I think there are a lot of different players that you could put in this conversation at number five, but Lamar Jackson, to me, gets the edge. I think he's the most unique player in the NFL. I think, athletically speaking, he is one of the most gifted athletes I think I have ever seen. Just the different things he's able to do with the ball. He can pull it down and run and make some exciting plays that way. He can also throw the ball. I mean, he's completing 63% of his passes this year. He's got 10 touchdowns, just 2 picks. And I think he's shown that he can, in that system, the way they're designed to play, be an effective pocket passer. Now, he's still, to me, got some questions to answer of what happens if they get behind in games and he's got to lead them from behind coming back and drive the ball down the field from the pocket that way, and they're not able to establish the running game in the same way. But I just think with how gifted Lamar Jackson is, he's the reigning NFL MVP. Give me Lamar Jackson at number five. So those are my top five quarterbacks. Joe, we're now going to toss it over to you. Give me your top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
Number one.
Same.
Is that Mahomes?
our lists are very similar.
Oh, yes. Are they?
Yes.
That makes me feel smart.
They get a little different late. But, yeah, Mahomes. Mahomes is, to me, he's a different kind of guy. I think he has a chance to be – it's very early to say this, but he has a chance to be the greatest we've seen play that position.
Number two.
Same.
Russell Wilson.
And, you know, he's coming off a game, really, you could blame him for them losing that game.
Yeah,
he made
absolutely.
Some bad mistakes. He's not perfect. But ultimately, he carries that team so often and dynamic, and I agree. I think when it's over here, as long as their record is very good and everything, I think he's going to be in that discussion and probably have a chance to get some MVP votes.
Number three.
Same again. I got Rodgers. He is the guy. He's the – and I know Tom Brady's on a hot streak now. I don't want to diminish that. But I still think Aaron Rodgers – and he's a few years younger than Brady and Breeze. I think even a little bit younger than Rivers. So you take that into account. But as of now, he doesn't look like he's diminished at all. And now I know his performance is not – like last year was not a monster year throwing the ball, but just as his arm talent, his ability, and now everything seems to come together for them, he's got to be right here or in the top five for sure.
Number four.
Here's where we differ. I'm going to Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
I think Deshaun Watson is – I think it's honestly, it's just ridiculous what has happened in Houston to waste his rookie contract. Because, you know, I think that you've got to try to go and get it when he's, you know, when he's on that deal. And I know some of that is just like injuries to some of their key guys and stars on defense that is out of their control. But you take away DeAndre Hopkins from him, and I don't see how you could possibly do that. I think you're in go for it every year with Deshaun Watson. I think he's special. I think he makes plays as a play extender and then downfield thrower. I don't think there's anyone better. Now, Russell Wilson is also tremendous. I mean, Mahomes, you know, a lot of the top guys are special at that. I think in that way, he is just unbelievable. And he's gotten better at the little things, and I think he's going to be a top five quarterback in the league for years to come. The question is, what kind of a team is he going to have around him?
Number five.
And I've got Tannehill here. And not not easily. I mean, it's tough. Lamar Jackson is a real tough one here. I'm with you. I like Lamar Jackson. He'd be next for me on the list. It really is interesting when you evaluate this position, how different he is from some of these other guys. I mean, really, he's different from all these guys. You know, it's a different system and different things you're asked to do. But you're right. I mean, Lamar Jackson has got a lot more efficient, and there's still some proving to do in terms of coming back in a big game against a good team, in terms of winning a playoff game and all that stuff. But Lamar Jackson's right there. But I got to go with Tannehill. He has consistently demonstrated it. I think Dan Orlovsky put it perfectly, like film and numbers. The numbers over 16 games now, they are right there with anyone in the league. And then watch him play. He's elite right now. The other guys on the, who are close, I still think Brady's right there. Dak Prescott, Roethlisberger. I mean, Josh Allen, I think, he's good. He's an up-and-coming player. Even guys like on bad teams, Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, still really good quarterbacks in this league. So there are a lot of good contenders from this. I really think that it's I kind of cut it at six. I think it's really hard to make those six guys into a top five with Lamar as the guy that I cut out.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, if Tannehill was a top five quarterback, they would use him like one in the playoffs. Henry running all over the place wouldn't keep the other top quarterbacks under 100 yards passing in the playoffs.
I mean, is this someone who didn't watch the games? Like, at what?
Well, I don't know if Ben watched it or not.
Yeah, I mean, at what point in those games? First of all, you don't look at games that way. Well, we got a top. We're going to have to just wing it around regardless because he's a top five quarterback. I mean, look, Derrick Henry was able to get 5 and 6 and 8 and 11 and 4 and 7 all game. They controlled the ball. Tannehill still made huge passes against New England and Baltimore, touchdown passes that won those games. So, the playoff stats for Tannehill, that's a big thing for people. Like, they can't get around it. But I think if you watch those games, I didn't see a quarterback who was being hidden in any way.
No, I mean, he made one really bad throw in the New England game.
He did.
It was awful. But that was basically it. I mean, I thought he played as well as they needed him to play in the Baltimore game. And then Kansas City, yeah, would you have liked to have seen more? Sure. But you're going up against Kansas City's offense. It's going to be a tough challenge either way. So, sure, yes, you can nitpick if you want to. But I think Tannehill was fine in the playoffs based on the way the games unfolded. And quite frankly, if and when they get back to the playoffs this year, Tannehill will put up some numbers. I'm pretty confident in saying that.
Yeah, so the argument there is, how could you be a top-five quarterback and have, 100-some yards in a playoff game?
Right.
I get that on its face, but again, that's one of those things where if you watch the game, I mean, he had to make big-time throws, not just in the red zone, obviously the shot to Raymond, but also late in the New England game in particular. He had a couple third-down throws he had to make to keep the ball in those games. So.
Are we being disrespectful to Tom Brady not having him in the top five, given the way he's playing right now based on his pedigree as a player?
Well, I'll tell you that a couple weeks ago, I don't think I would have had him in my top 10. I mean, I know that's funny. Again, you got to separate. He's one of the greatest of all time. Great. I mean, his career achievements are, we know he's first ballot. He's going to be in Canton the first moment he can be in there and all that stuff. But right at this moment, I will say, some of the throws, especially that he made against the Raiders, pretty special. So I think you can make the case for him, but I do think that we've seen over the last couple of years, over the longer sample, he's not the same player.
Are you surprised at how well he's playing right now, though, in Tampa?
A little bit based on what we saw early, and it's a couple of the picks he's thrown this year looked like an old guy playing at the picnic, but – hey, they are protecting. Like Orlovsky said, their offensive line has been great. Their receivers are great. And if you give him time, and now that he's got Gronk going too, kind of wasn't sure if he was going to go on
a love boat
and get out of football again, but he looks good again. So, but a little bit, yeah, he's ripping it up right now. So maybe we revisit this in a few weeks and he's in there.
When we come back, we'll get your reaction. Is Ryan Tannehill a top five quarterback in the NFL? Let us know on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615 737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
It's a special team. You know, it's tough to put your finger on one thing or another. It's a great organization, good team, good coaching staff, and guys I love playing with. You know, you put all those things together, and it adds up to, you know, better results on the field. So, you know, thankful for the opportunity to be a part of this organization, part of this team, and thankful for the teammates that I have around me that, you know, make going out there and playing each and every day, you know, a ton of fun. And, you know, obviously winning is a lot of fun as well.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill, always a good guy, praising his teammates, giving them the credit. But, Joe, let's be honest here. Ryan Tannehill deserves a ton of credit since taking over as starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. We've thrown the question out there. Is he a top five quarterback in the NFL? Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tom from Clarksville texts in, Ryan is absolutely top five, on pace for 40 touchdowns and only 5 interceptions. I would put those numbers up against anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I really think the biggest argument anymore, we've moved past for anyone who has any semblance of interest in the NFL. I think we've moved past the Miami stuff. Like, anybody who still talks about Miami now, I have to kind of dismiss them, right? It's like, come on. I think the argument against him now is the offense slash system, you know, slash he doesn't have to carry the team and have gaudy numbers for them to win argument. Now, I don't buy that, because I think if you play the position at an elite level, it doesn't always have to mean big numbers. You know, again, how many great quarterbacks do we know who were on crappy teams with crappy teammates and bad offenses? Like, you don't hear about them because they, you know,
yeah.
Like, I mean, there's been a lot of talented guys in this league who aren't great quarterbacks, and sometimes it's factors outside of their control. But I think people want to take away from him because he's in a good situation. The bottom line is he does carry them in a lot of instances, even if he doesn't have 350 yards and 4 touchdowns. And he has that sometimes.
Yes, he does. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in, on the Titans with Derrick Henry, Tannehill is a top five quarterback. If Henry went down, then I don't know, because the game is mostly centered around Henry. So for me, it's difficult to grade Tannehill without Henry, especially since we haven't seen much of it yet.
I understand the sentiment, but I disagree. And I'll go back to New Orleans last year when Derrick Henry could not play and Ryan Tannehill maybe wins that game if they correctly call a headshot on Khalif Raymond, but regardless, destroyed the Saints with no Derrick Henry in sight. I mean, it's a one-game sample size. And I'm not saying that over a long haul, Tannehill isn't worse off without Derrick Henry. Of course he is. But let's look at all the other great quarterbacks that we listed. I think you could sit there with Brady and say, well, how many Hall of Famers did he have? And that's fair. But he had a lot of good players, and he had a great system, and he had a great coach. So there was a lot of support with him. And right now, Tom Brady, how much talent does Tom Brady have around him now? How much do you factor that into the discussion? You know, how many quarterbacks are we looking at right now in all these discussions that don't have at least one other player who has a big part in them being good?
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texted in earlier about the playoff performance needing to be there to be a top five quarterback. He said, just because he didn't have to throw it a lot doesn't mean we would have done well if he did. The playoffs are different football. Other quarterbacks have proven they can do it in those situations if they have to. If the topic is best five regular season quarterbacks, then sure, give it to him. But he still has something left to prove come playoff time.
Okay. So the clutch touchdown pass to Anthony Firkser in Foxborough, did that count or not? Does that count as a big-time quarterback playing the playoffs or not?
I would say yes.
The fade to Jonnu Smith at Baltimore for a big-time touchdown. The
it was a great catch by Jonnu, but yeah.
The Khalif Rain. Yeah, it was. Sure. I mean, again, if another player has something good, then I guess you take it away from the other. I mean, the shot to Khalif Raymond, you got to hit that. Khalif Raymond absolutely ran a perfect route. The play call was perfect, but you still got to deliver that ball. Does that count or not? I mean, in those games, he made winning plays. He just didn't have the accumulation of numbers you want to see. It's not like he, quote-unquote, didn't get it done in those games. He did get it done. He got done exactly what was asked of him, and they won the games.
And I do think there is this view nationally that he is not the player that I think we all think he is locally. I still think the Miami part of this conversation that you brought up, I think that's still there to a certain degree nationally, and I'm not sure what else he can do at this point to have that go away. Like, I don't know. Like you said, if you're still bringing up Miami when you're discussing Ryan Tannehill, either number one, you just haven't been paying attention, or number two, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, at this point, I don't know if there's any in between there. I think Derrick Henry, and I get it. Derrick Henry is a great player. He is one of the best running backs in the league. I think you can make an argument right now. He's the best running back in the league, and he deserves a lot of credit for what this Titans offense is able to do. You can have a very good running back and a very good quarterback together and it not be solely because they're playing together. I do think they help each other, obviously, but I don't think that Ryan Tannehill just falls off a cliff if Derrick Henry's not here.
Right, I agree. And we, you know, obviously Titans fans hope they don't have to find that answer out. But it's just, I don't know, is it different? Is it different for the evaluation of a quarterback in some minds? I think the Miami thing's absolutely right, but is it different running back versus receiver because it's two different aspects of the game? You know, I don't know, but I feel like people, I think also just Derrick Henry's, you know, we can see with Derrick Henry around the league, there is a growing like interest in Derrick Henry. I mean, even
the highlight plays, the highlight plays, stiff arms. Yeah, I mean,
he's becoming really a star in the league because of stuff like that. It's like, whoa, look at what this guy is doing. He's got the Old Spice commercial.
Yeah,
and I think that also feeds the idea of, okay, so whatever quarterback's behind him is, man, what a great deal. You're on scholarship, you know, maybe more so than a quarterback who has a great receiver or two.
Could be.
I'm throwing things out there because I'm a little confused at this point. Because I do think, Robbie, that over time it should change. What does he have to do? I mean, win a Super Bowl? I don't know. Have not just win a Super Bowl, but throw five TDs in the Super Bowl? You know, with some people, I think they want to believe that it's simply not him.
Yeah.
Not all him. Not enough him.
Yeah, I do think there's some of that. And look, Tannehill's a guy. He's very soft-spoken. He doesn't have that personality that's going to attract a lot of attention. Now, I think he's different from Marcus in the fact that Tannehill on the field, he gets pretty fired up. And you could see it, and you've heard about stories in the huddle where maybe he's commanding and calling guys out a little bit more than Marcus Mariota did. But, you know, when you look around the league, like Tom Brady's out there. Aaron Rodgers is out there. I mean, Deshaun Watson's in all these commercials. Even Baker Mayfield somehow is in all of these commercials. Ryan Tannehill's a guy that if you're not watching the Titans play, you don't really remember that Ryan Tannehill exists from a league perspective. Obviously here locally we do, but from a national perspective. And how many people nationally are sitting there, even now, watching the Titans every week? I still think the number is not where it needs to be.
Yeah,
other
sure.
than the Steelers game.
No, that's definitely a factor too, no doubt. Yeah, well, they couldn't even get Romo for for the
just
Steelers
disrespect.
Titans. Yeah, like apparently they were already locked into the New England game. I mean, Tannehill's done some stuff though that like the and one thing, you know, that should get more attention.
But how many people know about that nationally?
Right,
I bet not many.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a little Nashville secret that people around here get to enjoy, you know. But no, I do. I mean, I look like Dan Orlovsky. There's a guy who I think a lot of people respect his opinion. I do. I mean, I think he's a great analyst. And when you hear someone like that say that stuff on ESPN, you would think that it would change some minds.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says the Titans should draft Najee Harris. So we were talking about Derrick Henry, all the success he's had. Now they got the Titans drafting a running back after they just drafted Darrington Evans.
That's
I'm going to go out on a limb.
Is that the text?
That's all it
that's
says.
It? That's the text?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say they don't do that.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yeah, because he's going to go pretty high.
Draft a pass rusher.
Is there a pass rusher at any point that's going to be a part of their draft plans?
I think maybe multiple pass rushers.
Draft a pass rusher.
It's already throwing that out there.
Said it last year. You know?
Yeah.
Didn't do it.
I mean, Najee Harris is a great player.
By the way, Robbie, your long-lost brother, Ronnie Stanley, with the Baltimore Ravens, got a contract extension today.
Yeah, I got really excited about that. It says, Ronnie Stanley signs a contract. And I thought, you know, you read that fast, you think maybe it's you. It's not. We're not related.
Imagine if you had a show, Robbie and Ronnie. That sounds like a good show.
Oh, man. You're trying to kick yourself out?
I mean, hey, whatever makes the show better, man.
The two Stanleys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for him.
It's a $98 million deal.
Well, let me just throw this out there.
98 over
5.
Yeah.
Wow. That's big, man.
Let me just throw this out there. I'm not making $98 million. None of us are.
It's early. It's early, man.
Oh, man. $98 million. Ooh. Man, when we come back, is there a divide emerging inside the Titans locker room? We'll discuss that on the other side of the break. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC takes on Chicago Fire FC Saturday at Nissan Stadium at 7:30 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:15. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, there seems to be an inner feud building up in the Titans locker room that was exposed the other day by Will Compton. I'll let you set this up exactly what's happening, but, man, I was blown away by this feud here in the Titans locker room.
This could threaten to derail the entire season.
It really could.
No, but Will Compton put out a video, and he had a bag with a Wendy's burger in it, and he basically told a quick story about how in the locker room there's a lot of yelling going on after practice. They got into the burger debate. Which is the best fast food burger? Now, by the way, on that debate, I think there is you could distinguish fast food like you could get at the drive-thru from what people call a lot of things fast food. But regardless, we'll get into that. But Basically, Derrick Henry apparently said Wendy's is the best burger in America.
Okay.
So Will Compton immediately went and got one and said, "Wait, I gotta try this." And basically, he was like, "I mean, I'll eat it, but come on, man, you know." Now, Derrick Henry did get asked about this.
He did, yesterday. And Derrick Henry was asked about this ongoing battle inside the Titans locker room yesterday about burgers. Here's what Derrick Henry had to say.
Did you get any other players on board with your Wendy's opinion?
That was a big commotion yesterday. We had a whole argument about it. I said Wendy's is one of the best. I didn't say it was the best. Will, you know how he is, but Wendy's is one of the best.
Now, that's the first time I've ever seen Derrick Henry do some backpedaling there.
Good call.
Compton's a bad messenger.
I don't know, but I tell you what, regardless, even one of the best. I mean, if we don't see Derrick Henry on our televisions next week stiff-arming someone with a Baconator, what is Wendy's doing? What are they doing?
It's a great question.
That should be happening right as we speak. So whatever, even one of the best, I'd say, is a little bit of a controversial take.
For Wendy's? I don't know.
Do we count? What do we count?
Well, Wendy's certainly is fast food.
Well, of course. So like all the Five Guys and the Shake Shack, these places, there's no drive-through. But most people, like I did not count Shake Shack. I did a top five on Twitter yesterday. I did my own top five, including the specific burgers, which is very important. What is the burger you're talking about?
Yeah.
Like if you want to go Wendy's, we've talked off the air about this. Give me a Baconator, Junior Bacon. I put that in my top five.
Okay.
A regular burger? No. Five Guys? I need the jalapeno burger. Now, I don't need it, and I can do about one a year because then I have 3 days of recovery, but it's worth it. It's that good. So if we're counting that sort of pseudo fast food, that makes it tougher.
We're counting it.
Okay.
In this discussion. Five Guys is the best burger.
You got them number one.
Number one.
Okay. But
every burger you throw out there, number one.
Doesn't have a drive-thru.
Doesn't matter. It's fast food. It's not drive food.
Well, we just
fast said you do have to sit and wait for your food.
You got to sit in the drive-thru and wait after you order it, too. Like, does it pop out of the menu after you get done saying something to you?
Sometimes.
And you just catch it?
So now we're talking.
It's like a pop speed, shot.
Speed of light food.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have that
five
yet.
Guys
what's,
last night.
What's your definition of fast?
I knew what we were going to talk about today, so I had Five Guys for the first time in a long time yesterday.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, then.
DoorDash brought it right to the door. Had it for dinner.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Yeah. I mean, so if you're counting that, now I think that's got to be. And I did. I didn't count Shake Shack. People love that. I think it's fine. I think it's good.
All right. So where do you put the Big Mac in this, though?
It's not in the top five.
You know, I've got a soft spot in my heart for that burger, going back to childhood. But, I mean, secret sauce is just Thousand Island dressing, right? Or is it mayonnaise and ketchup? I forget.
It's supposed to be a secret. You're tossing it out over the airwaves.
It's one or the other. Hey, I know Porth's answer here, but have you ever seen the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the phone. I know he hasn't seen it, so never mind. Doesn't matter.
I have seen it, yes.
Yeah. Watch it again.
Okay. Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says Five Guys, and they have the best fries, too. You do get a lot of bang for your buck.
Well, they've got those heavy, boardwalk kind of fries, right? Yeah. Like, it's just bad when you're eating them. Like, I'm like, oh, this is so bad for me. But it's that good, too.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Gover, who wants to weigh in on the fast food discussion. Gover, how you doing, my friend? Go ahead.
I'm great, guys. Look, I'm a big dude, okay? I can tell you right now that out of experience, Five Guys and places like that are not fast food places because you have to order them in advance. You got to walk up to a counter or call in, order them in advance. You have to go into the place, and then you have to wait 8, 9, 10 minutes, just like you would at a TGI Fridays or an Applebee's or whoever sponsors your show. That is a quote-unquote poor man's restaurant. It is not a fast food place. You have to have a drive-through to be considered fast food.
Gover makes a good point. I mean, it's tough because it's sort of like the in-between. It is. It's the in-between world, you know, because it's not a sit-down. I mean, you can sit down in any of these places and eat, but it is definitely
doesn't
not
it make you
as
feel better?
Fast.
Like, it's not that long of a wait. Doesn't it make you feel better to walk in and see the burger being made right before your eyes rather than
whatever they just hand you out the door? In front of your eyes, too. Okay?
Where?
It's all about the place. The fast food is like, hey, I drive in, I talk into a speaker box, I drive around, I pay, they give me my food, I leave. You can't do that at these other places that you're talking about, and therefore they are not fast food. Yes, they are made on the grill. Their burgers may be better quality, whatever. That's not the point. The point is that you cannot just walk in and within 2 minutes leave with your food.
Okay,
that
so who is your top fast food burger then?
I know it's got to be what I think it is.
Well, it's In-N-Out Burger.
Yes, Cali guy.
Yeah, double plain In-N-Out. That's number one.
Okay.
Double plain. Okay, my number one burger, even counting these places that Gover discounts, and I think he has a good point.
Okay.
Is In-N-Out double single, double meat, single cheese, animal style. That's grilled onions and chilis.
Hey,
oh,
it's pretty good.
It's the best burger, man.
Gover, we appreciate the call, my friend. Hope you're doing well.
Love you guys. Great show.
Thank you very much,
buddy.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Casey, who wants to weigh in on this topic. Casey, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, like the earlier caller, I'm a big guy myself. I don't have too much of an In-N-Out down here where I'm located, but I would say the Flame Broiled Whopper from Burger King is probably my favorite. It's up there with the Wendy's burger. I'm not going to lie, the Baconator is fire.
It is fire.
Yeah. So,
the classic, the Whopper, classic.
Oh, yeah. And you just throw some cheese on there. I'm much of a plain Jane guy myself, so I don't get all the ketchup and all that. But hey, them fries is banging, especially fresh out the fryer.
Hey, thanks for the call, Casey. That's a good point there. I mean, the Burger King Whopper, I think, doesn't get the love it's probably due.
That used
in this
to be.
World.
I mean, again, this is for both of you. You probably don't remember, but I mean, like the Big Mac and the Whopper was almost like Pepsi Coke. I mean, it was a big debate. Long ago.
The Big Mac would be number one for me.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I love the Big Mac.
Okay.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark in Clarksville texts in, and this, I can't believe I didn't think of this. Cookout is the best fast food burger.
I think it's good.
Cookout's pretty good, and it's certainly fast food. Like, I heard Gover's little argument there. I still argue Five Guys is fast food. I don't care if it doesn't have a drive through, but I hear what he's saying. Cookout, definitely fast food.
Cookout is good. I thought about them. We still have not mentioned, because the big debate, I think, now is Whataburger In-N-Out. And I like Whataburger. I think it's overrated. Some people think In-N-Out's overrated. Here's one that I had on my top five, number four.
Okay.
People don't talk about. Culver's. Have we had the Culver's Whataburger? Yeah. Very good stuff.
Yes. Culver's, the entire menu at Culver's is very, very good.
Dude, the pot roast sandwich there, which can't count here.
You want to hear a shot? Whataburger, criminally overrated. It is so overrated.
Stop.
It's not good.
Stop. In-N-Out is criminally overrated.
It's not good.
See? I swear most people think one of those two things. that one of them is way over. I think they're both really good. I just think In-N-Out's way above Whataburger.
Let's go back to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark's calling in, wants to weigh in. Mark, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Show. Go ahead.
So the best fast food burger, hands down, has got to be the Big Bacon Double Burger from Cookout.
Oh, yeah. And
you guys chimed in and said In-N-Out. My old lady's from California. She even goes with Cookout, the Big Bacon Double Burger. It's got to be Cookout.
That's a great point. Thanks for the call, Mark.
See, I haven't had that particular one, which is kind of surprising because I'm big on putting the pigs and cows together. But I haven't had that particular burger.
Is that like a life motto that you kind of live by?
Pigs and cows like peanut butter and jelly, man. They belong together.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover texting in, the Whopper is 100 times better than the Big Mac. McDonald's is fake.
Fake food? Fake food! Have you guys ever seen Super Size Me?
Oh, yes. I would not recommend it. It's gross.
The part about the fries, how they don't decompose in your stomach, and yet I could still eat like a ton of them and would right
and
now.
Yet.
I would do it right now.
And yet. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rob texts in, Freddy's has great burgers, and their fry sauce is absolute fire. Have you ever heard of Freddy's?
I have not.
I have. It's Freddy's Steak Burger. It's great. It's similar to Steak and Shake, similar. Which we know Brian Port loves Steak and
Shake.
Do
we count Steak and
Shake? It's very similar to Steak and Shake, but I think Freddy's has a drive-thru. I mean, Steak and Shake's got a drive-thru, too.
That's true. And they count. And honestly, I think if it counts, but the patty melt at Steak and Shake, which is a burger.
Yes.
That's a heck of a – that's a good sandwich.
It is good.
I honestly didn't think about that one.
There's a lot of different ways you could go with that. But to be honest with you, like whatever Derrick Henry's doing, it's working. If the Wendy's is working for him, keep it up with the Wendy's, right? Like he doesn't need to change anything up. Don't listen to Will Compton.
Does he like pound two Baconators after like a game? Like on his way home, go through the drive-thru and –
I mean, you expend a lot of energy in a game. You got to, like, it's like the goalie in hockey, right? Like, I remember Dan Ellis used to play here as Preds goalie, and he lost like 10 pounds a game. Had to just stuff himself after.
Well, this is one of those things that this has changed a lot in sports. I mean, covering college athletes for a long time, those guys ate terribly, but it didn't matter. You know, they were great, and they would seriously, they would hit those drive-thrus and load it up and whatever. It doesn't matter. Now, like, everybody's in on the nutrition thing.
Yeah.
You got to. But I'm gonna give Will Compton some props for going right to the drive-thru after practice and just crushing one on camera.
And goes to the practice squad, by the way. He was cut, signed on the Titans practice squad, immediately going through fast food. I respect it.
And you know what he said, though, is he's like, I got a Dr. Pepper here, but I'm on a diet. So he didn't drink the Dr. Pepper.
Well, we always appreciate that. When we come back, we'll dive into some Vols talk. Our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic will join us. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.